Mama Mihirangi is with us for a call. Let's play a bit of Mama Mihirangi's waiata to give her that fitting welcome to our conversation. Mama Mihirangi is joining us, a Māori artist, and also, well, I mean, she can perform by herself, but she also loves performing with people, and it's great to have her with us. She's just come back from the Blues Fest in Byron Bay, where she presented a Te Whee Wānanga as well as a women's haka workshop. She's also had a long association with Playing for Change and is planning her Canadian tour. Hey, Mihirangi, it's been, well, it is neat to talk with you again. I think last time we spoke, you were Mihirangi, but now you're Mama Mihirangi, ne?
well, because I became a mama.
I see. I thought it was something to do with the years that have passed to Hine.
Yeah. Yes, a few years have passed. A few years have passed, definitely.
Tēnākwe.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
And when did you, just remind us, I mean, you've been playing music a long time and now creating all of these neat vehicles to celebrate Wahine Waiata, and I was intrigued to see you hosting a women's haka workshop, but just remind us of your career, because it feels like you've been doing Māori-focused mahi proudly for decades.
Well, after New Zealand's Got Talent, I ended up creating Mama Mihirangi in the Māre Kura, which was a show that was set up to put forward our wahine Māori, our beautiful Māre Kura, our young wahine, to show the world basically what it looks like for young Indigenous women to stand tall and stand proud, and what that looked like from an Indigenous perspective in the music industry. And so we travelled around the world since... Gosh, I can't even remember when we really started. That started in 2017, sorry. That really took off. So we've just been traveled around the world doing that, and obviously with COVID and stuff, that stopped. And it's only just been this last year that I've been getting back into music, and now we're getting back into touring again.
Lovely. Tell us about the Blues Fest. And indeed the Women's Haka Workshop. I'm assuming many of these interested wahine may not have been Māori at all.
Yep. And I knew you were going to ask me about that. So Blues Fest was for a performance I did with a group called Playing for Change, which you may know about. We did a song called When the Levee Breaks with artists from all around the world, which was part of a global piece through music. And the environment. So that was with the United Nations, and that's part of a program that we did with Sir David Attenborough. So that's why I went to Byron Bay. There's a co-papa that I've been doing in regards to Haka Workshop for Women. That is a workshop about a haka that I've written, that we had written with myself and another couple of wahine Māre Kura who came on tour with us. About the missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada. So the haka itself is all about wahine reclaiming their spiritual equality in their own whakapapa. So it wasn't just written for us as Māori, it was written for other people as well, for other women to start reclaiming their spiritual equality and their spiritual, that Indigenous part of themselves that... needs to step up. As far as I'm concerned, we live in a... you've been talking about the environment all morning, and as far as I'm concerned, until there's the equality of the feminine in all aspects, in all areas of our lives, that there is really no equality that pertains to our relationship to the earth, because it's all intertwined.
It's an interesting way to phrase it. Flesh that out, the equality of the feminine.
Well, the equality of the spiritual feminine, because all Indigenous people have relationships to the earth, which is, most people refer that to the great feminine. And I've travelled around the world for 25 years meeting with Indigenous people around the world through my music. So that's exactly what that is. It's it's a relationship with the great divine feminine. And you know, with the, you know, we've been bombarded for the last 200 years with an inequality of honoring this masculine version of spirituality and creator, and not only getting rid of but demonizing the feminine. And it's like, well, how is it that we can you know, see, look for the equality in the feminine and the spirituality of the feminine, which is something that we don't have an equality with, period.
Well, we love Papatu Nuku, and if we took it to its nth degree, we'd be acknowledging the feminine in ways that would be more appropriate, more fitting. Look, Mihirangi, in some ways, you're a bit
It's that relationship that we have with the earth. It's that relationship that all Indigenous peoples have with the earth. You know, it's that honouring, and it's actually that kaupapa itself that got brought up and was raised with in the story with when the levee breaks with the United Nations and stuff. And it's that particular story that is being told, which is really empowering and powerful.
I was thinking how to describe your approach to music and to performance, and it feels a little like an underwater current, because so many involved in the music industry want the fame, the fortune, and the notoriety. But it feels to me that you've been happy to work in a more principled way, in a quieter way, sharing music for the joy that it brings, but also touching on a lot of very important issues that might not have been contributors to commercial success, ethically conscious approach to music and your own artistic career. I don't know if you drive around in a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, but what would you say of that, how satisfying it could be, just because you know that you're working on positivity?
You know, I grew up in the music industry. My mum sang with Joe Cocker and Gladys Knight, and you know, mum sings on the Herbs albums and things like that. So I grew up in the music industry, and I grew up in a time in the music industry where it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and it was a really unhealthy environment. And my father, when he passed away, I have two dads, both of them passed away. My first father, who passed away, my blood father, at the age of 14, when he died, because I hated the music industry growing up. I couldn't stand it because of what it did to our family. So, and it's a horrible place, especially for a woman, let alone being an Indigenous woman in the music industry. And I never saw the music industry or music itself as a card to get famous. Once my father passed away, I was singing, and when I was singing, I found that it was so healing, and that's when it really clicked. And I went, at the age of 14, I went, I'm going to do music, and I'm going to do music to heal myself. And I grew up with that. So I grew up using music as a healer for myself. And then that just automatically becomes, you know, those songs that we write about self-healing becomes healing for others. And then, of course, I discovered, you know, people were always saying to me, sing in te reo Māori, sing in te reo Māori. And I never wanted to, because I felt, number one, way too whakamā, and that I wasn't able to able to own it, that I didn't have that value, like, you know, those who can speak te reo Māori fluently, all that kind of stuff. And then I discovered that every time I did sing in te reo Māori, it was healing for me. And in effect, it healed others. And then it gave others permission to sing in their own language. So when I went touring around the world with the Stiff Gins, who are an Aboriginal group from Australia, once I started singing in te reo Māori, it inspired them. And then they started singing in their language. And, you know, it's this pass-on effect. And I've never, you know, like even when I did New Zealand's Got Talent, this is a little bit of a secret. I'm not going to be a secret anymore. But when I was on New Zealand's Got Talent, someone had sent me a message and they said to me, Mihirangi, you should go and audition for New Zealand's Got Talent. And I sent them a response, and my response actually shocked me. And my response was, hell no, I'm a professional. And then when I did that, I realized, oh my goodness, I really got to deal with that part of my ego. So I forced myself to go, and I thought, and I said, messaged my friend back and said, I'm going to force myself to go and get a lesson in humility. I'll bet I won't get in. And then I auditioned and I got in. So doing that, that to me was a real commercial pathway, and it's not a pathway that I wanted to go down because I've never done commercial music. My music is specifically for healing, and it is, you know, like you say, it's an undercurrent. I've managed to travel around the world doing music my entire career because of that. So I've never aimed for the commercial side of it because I've never needed to and I've never wanted to.
Well, we celebrate all your efforts here in bringing more Waiata Māori to audiences who are less familiar with it than us, and also celebrating wahine and tanga. It's been neat having another kōrero. Thanks very much for sharing some time with us, Mihirangi.
He tino nui te honore ki te kōrero ki a koe, Dale.
No good. All right. Kia ora, kōrero pai te atanei. Mauri ora.